علمه. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and pleasure, and in which things, which amal, which states and which deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure lies. And they are sent for this purpose. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Human beings, philosophers, people who are not prophets, they are not free from error, and they cannot sometimes judge or say things independently. They have their sometime own vested interest, what they like or what they don't like about their family, about their health and their own well-being. But the Prophets and Anbiya alayhi salam, they are free from all these things. They, without wanting anything from the creation, and that's what Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed them, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. They are instructed again and again that to clarify to us that what these people, the message which they give, they don't have any benefit in there as such. They are not materially gaining anything. The message which they give is purely for your and mine benefit. And in one word, لا أسألكم عليه مالا إلا من شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا. Their reward is that anyone of their ummah, they come on guidance and they think this is our reward. If one person is guided, the Rasulullah says, this is my reward, this is my ajr, that this person have come on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many, many qualities and many prominent sunnahs, but two of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Many others are mentioned, but in one particular verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two qualities or two sunnahs of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, where for us there is guidance as well there. So he said, one of the sunnah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُول, that this messenger came to you. Two qualities Rasulullah, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Then one of the quality of the heart of Rasulullah ﷺ was that it was very burdensome, very painful, anything which harms his ummah and people in this world or the hereafter. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. So this was the one of the qualities of Rasulullah ﷺ. This was the one of the prominent sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, that you and me also have a heart like this. And in that, this quality is that anything where people are harmed, be it dunya or regarding akhirah, that it becomes painful and we try to push away the harm. We try to push away the harm so that the people, our family, ourselves, others, they can be saved. The opposite to this is shaitanic quality, hiqab, and hasad. What is that? That some people, they feel a kind of satisfaction when others suffer loss. When they hear that this person was doing business, he suffered loss, they find a kind of peace, satisfaction. Oh, he has satisfaction in that. Or someone has suffered in any other way, any of their relatives, they were progressing, meaning the loss and the harm of others, their hearts actually like it. They don't say it with the tongue. But when they hear the news of any relative, any other brothers, any other sisters or their friends, they've suffered loss in business or their marriage broke down or they, for example, this happened, they find a kind of satisfaction, a kind of gratification. This is shaitanic quality. So about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that his sunnah was, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَعَنِتُمْ, that for him it is painful, anything which is harmful, which is lossful for the ummah. So this quality we should also nourish in our heart, this sunnah. This is one of the biggest sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because of this sunnah, he was all the time giving da'wah. Don't do this, don't do this. This will harm you in qabr. This will harm you in barzakh, on the day of judgment. This will harm you in hell. This will strain and cut your relationship with Allah. So all the da'wah, all the nahi, as nahi anil munkar, is for saving people from harm. And that's the one of the meaning of Ra'uf. Because Allah SWT mentioned after that, these qualities are summarized in two names. Azizun alayhi ma'anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'mineena Ra'uf ur Rahim. What does Ra'uf mean? Ra'uf exactly means what I'm telling you now. That he has such love of the people that he wants to save them from the harm. Save them anything which actually harms them. So all the things which the Prophet ﷺ has said, don't do, this is because of this quality. He did not like people to suffer here, or actually in the qabr, or at the time of death. The second quality of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah SWT says, حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This means that he had other of his sunnah was that his heart was like this, that he was always thinking, how can I benefit the humanity? How can I benefit the creation? How can they be a benefit? With iman, with amal-e salihah, and all of the amar bil ma'roof we find in his life is the effect of this quality. That he was always thinking, not only human beings, but even animals. Even environment, even animal, this was his fundamental quality. So that he wanted people to benefit. So all the amal which he has mentioned, do this, do this, do this, this is my sunnah, they benefit you, for you in the dunya. And also, for example, one of the companions came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, comes in the hadith, that he said, yesterday, this night, I was bitten by a scorpion. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you had said in the evening after Maghrib, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ, it would have harmed you. So, he was worried about this, that no scorpion of this earth harms us, and no scorpion in the grave. Because in the grave as well, he used to warn people. He said, these people, these two graves, inhabitants of these two graves, Muslims, they were Muslims, but they are being punished in the graves. One, because of telling tales and namima, and one, because of not cleansing, purifying the private parts. These two things are emphasized so much in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ and in the Quran, that a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi in his book, He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that majority of the human beings will go in hellfire because of the tongue and private part. Misuse, abuse of the tongue, speech and abuse of private part. This will be the majority. Minority going for other reasons as well. There are people going. But this is the majority. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Azizun alayhi ma anittum, Harisun alaykum bil mu'mineen, Ra'ufur Rahim. This is now his qualities are mentioned by name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, He is Ra'uf, He is Rahim. Ra'uf, the one which stops you being harmed, which mentions to you everything which is harmful for you. And Rahim mentioned everything which benefits you. Smallest thing he mentioned. Smaller. How to go into the Baitul Khar, meaning the toilet, how to actually eat, what hand to use, meaning smallest thing from the major sin to run government, he's mentioned. Ra'ufur Rahim. So, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that because, meaning that you have choice over that, it's up to you, you follow it not. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, if they don't, then if they still turn away and they want to follow the shaitanic ways and the shaitanic qualities that he is thinking, he is always thinking of how to harm people in this world and in akhirah. And his heart or his quality is not thinking that how people benefit, but how people are harmed. He feels happy when people will go in hell. He feels happy when, for example, a wife and husband is divorced. So Rasulullah s.a.w. presented a model how you can stay together, fulfill the rights, and then there is shaitan. So there are two models. One is actually the model from hell, which is shaitan, and one is actually model for going into Jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For in the Messenger of Allah, there is a model, example for you, a very good example. For everyone, no, the Quran doesn't say this. He said, for everyone, no. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. A good example for everyone. Everyone will find example in him. Will follow him? No. He said, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. If three qualities are, only then the person will follow and benefit from the example of Rasulullah ﷺ. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, the one who hopes that one day, today, tomorrow, one day I will go in the grave, one night will come in the grave, any day will come in the grave, one day I am going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, and I have to be answerable. وَالْيَوْمَ, and he also thinks and believes strongly that I, in the day of akhirah, that I have to pay for every my deeds, and I will see have reward of the deeds which are rewardable. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. Allah is with me, Allah is watching me, Allah is hearing me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing me. He is in the zikr of Allah. He hopes, his belief of meeting of Allah, he is thinking, he is hoping, he is longing to meet Allah, and he also knows that he will reach a day of akhirah. For this person, he will find example in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For a person who doesn't think he will meet Allah, he is forgetful of Allah, for him the examples are in the sinful people who are enjoying the pleasures of flesh and the pleasures of nafs. For him, all the sinners, all the zanis and alcoholics and all other things, for him he thinks that my examples are in them. Because for him, this is the ultimate aim, the enjoyment and the pleasures of the hidden, of the nafs. So these are the two qualities, the two sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like you follow other sunnahs of eating, of drinking, of clothing, of beard, these are the inner sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That what type of you are. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Anas, my son." Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he said, try, it is my sunnah to spend night whilst my heart is clear from all hatred and animosity regarding anyone. I sleep, Rasulullah mentioned to Sayyidina Anas, that try to spend night as I spend, that if in the during the day something happened, at night time, sleep whilst your heart is clean. How do you cleanse your heart? If someone has wronged you, if someone has done anything wrong with you, how can you cleanse the heart? It will still keep hurting you. One person have tortured you, he slapped you on the face. Once, few months ago. He slapped you once, few months ago, but every time you remember him and remind yourself, you are slapping yourself every time you remember. He tortured you once, you are torturing you every day by remembering, oh, this person have done this to me, oh, I can still feel it. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. He done it once, you are doing it every day. So he is harming, he is torturing you every day. So he's got a remote control or a wire connected to your heart by his torturing. You can cut that wire, you can release it so that he can't torture you anymore. You've done it once, don't let him do more again and again every day. How do you do that? You press the switch. What is that switch which cuts this wire? The switch of forgiveness. Once you forgive, you're released from it. The hatred goes away, the torture goes away. Now he can't harm you anymore. He can't torture you now. Even he's not there, he can't torture you. But those people who think we are doing favor to people by forgiving, no, really you are doing favor to yourself by forgiving, because you are saving yourself from the everyday torture. That person has gone. Once he swore at you, he's gone. But you are torturing yourself from his swearing every day when you remember. So by forgiving, it's really you are the beneficiary, not the other person. It's not really a favor to the other person. It's a favor to yourself, because your heart become relieved. You release the negative energy. You relieve the torture. And then alhamdulillah. And that was the quality, a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So you've learned now, mashallah, the three sunnahs of the heart. You know the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beard was the sunnah. His eating, his drinking, way of drinking, his way of dressing. There are many, many sunnahs. You know, they are the outward sunnah. These sunnahs are more precious than the outward sunnah, which is the sunnahs of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable me and you to understand and to get our directions right, and then and to pursue the path to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that forever and ever we become free from all these difficulties and things. And there's only one path, this is the path of sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan jaza. If you want to ask any question, or if you want to see me privately, some people have any private matter, there is a room upstairs, you can all means see me there as well. But if there is anything general you want to ask, so others can benefit as well, you are welcome, mashallah. Otherwise we finish, inshallah.
Excuse me.
Yes, brother.
Jazakallah khair for your talk. You were talking there about the inward qualities, and you were talking about, you gave some examples of physical ways that maybe people have been hurting you. But what more about the subtle ways that people emotionally, and they're quite vindictive, and it's a continuous way of hurting us, and maybe, you know, so it's very subtle, and this is a harder way. So you forgive, but it's a continuous bombardment. How did the Rasulullah ﷺ guide us to deal with these type of things?
Mm. Well, can you give me an example, like some of the subtle?
It could be, you know, that every time that they something is happening, say you're involved in something, and they'll take you to court, or they'll be meddling in your business, or making accusations that are untrue about you, and it's this whisper is going around families and things. So you are not really involved in it as such yourself, but this whisper is going around your families and things like that. So you forgive that person, but it's continuously happening, and you haven't got maybe something or you might take the person to court or something, but how can we forgive that person that continues? We want to forgive them, and maybe we do, but it's not something you can just turn off.
Yes. Now, what the brother has mentioned about this subtle torturing of people, each other and things. Now, one have to be very clear in this path, that Islam, for example, someone wrongs you, someone has done something wrong with you, you have a right to, for justice, to take revenge equal to the person, for example, what he. This is your right, which Islam gives you. But then, also Islam lays down the higher model in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam life, that forgiving and forgetting is the highest level. But we can't force people to, you don't claim your right. They have every right to get justice. But there is more reward and better for them. One of this, you said, how we do this. Obviously, the human being is, someone pricks a needle, you will be hurt. Someone swear at you, you will be hurt. Rasulullah ﷺ also was actually was heard by what people used. He said, "Wasbir ala ma yaquluna." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah ﷺ, "Be patient of what they say about you, that you are a magician. Na'uz billah, you are sahir, you are majnoon, you are this." All these things they used to say to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. One thing we find in the, how you said, how Rasulullah ﷺ dealt with these matter was that our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the entire life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he never took revenge for anything personally done wrong against himself or said against himself personally. But for other people, he stood up very strongly. For the oppressed, for family, for other matters. Like for example, in one time it comes that few people came from some certain tribes and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, send some knowledgeable people with us so that they can teach the deen to us and others as well." So the Prophet ﷺ selected 50, 60, 70 prominent teachers, Sahaba Rizwan Ajmain, who had learned from Rasulullah ﷺ deen. So he sent these people. These people were traitors, these other people who came, munafiqeen. So they took them, and in the way, they had an army, they had an ambush, and they killed all except actually one of them who ran away, one of the Sahabi. So this was an utter deception. And when Rasulullah ﷺ heard this, look what he did in Ta'if. He said, "Allah mahdi qawmi la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, this is, guide them, they don't know me." That was something personally done against him. He was there. He went to Ta'if with one of his slaves. So he was alone there with one of his slaves. So he personally, they did against him. He, even Angel Israel, or the angel, another angel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, not Israel, the Malakul Jibal, who said, "If you will, if you wish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me permission to clash the mountains of the sides of the Ta'if and crush these peoples." But Rasulullah said no. But in this matter, when they took 70 of his companions and slaughtered them in the way, and when Rasulullah heard this, he was so upset and he sought justice for them so much that whole month in the Suratul Fajr, in the Salatul Fajr, he read Qunuwate Nazila, that actually it's like a dua against them. "Oh Allah, destroy them. Oh Allah, they've done this to my companion." He was so upset that for them, he actually, whole month he actually prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy them. And he stood up for them. So this was one of the defining lines, that he would disregard, ignore things personally done, but he wouldn't. For example, you give an example, if they are doing it to your family, other matter, then you have to stand up for the justice of others. If they are just related to personal, then the sunnah of Rasulullah is to endure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran as well, "Wasbir ala ma yaqulun, wasabbih bihamdi rabbik So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient and do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other thing I want to say to you is, you should change your worldview. As I have previously said, that don't live this life from the view of the ant. Don't see things from the view of the ant. What is the view of the ant? Ant is walking here. Even small stone look like Mount Everest to him. Even small petals look as the big trees to him. Even small specks look of dust look like actually that they are bigger. So every small thing, he makes big thing out of it, and this is come. This is the sight of the ant. We are told, the wise people say, that you live life with the sight of eagle. Look, when the eagle flies, because he is beyond, he is above the earth very much. Even big mountains look small. Even the trees look like small plants. He can see things small. So once you raise yourself up and see from things from the Akhirah point of view, from Allah's point of view, then these petty dispute, this person is saying this to me, he is disputing about this, any nitty gritty, you don't want to get in. Because you have now sight of an eagle, meaning you see things from the higher perspective, you see things from the point of view of Day of Judgment, or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's point of view, that we are temporary here, I am not going to waste time actually doing these, this is childish thing. But if you have the vision of ant, then for every problem, everything will turn off your mood, and put off your mood, actually you will have mood swings and everything, actually you will be bothered. So regarding that, I'm not saying you won't be hurt, but I'm saying that if you change your world view, as I am saying, and make it more broader, get it out of just actually this world, what's happening in the courts, what's happening in the family, see what's happening in Syria, for example. People are being slaughtered. And me and you, I am hurt because that person have said this to me. What is this word compared to when someone's daughter, someone's son is being slaughtered in front of you? This is. So sometimes you have to see things, as Rasulullah ﷺ said, from the dunya point of view, always see people who are less privileged than you, who have less money, who have less security, who have less actually comfort. From dunya, if you see this gives you a little bit of courage, alhamdulillah, I am better than millions. And from akhirah, from deen point of view, always see people who are better than you. Don't actually see people actually who are worse than in deen. For example, if you are praying five salah, look at the someone who prays tahajjud as well. If you are doing the first fast, look at the one who is in the mafiz. You are following some sunnah, look at the one who is following more sunnah. More sadaqah he is giving, more pious he is, more work of deen, this gives you. So this is it, you have to, but yes, you will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave another advice, wa ibadur rahman, my servants are merciful, how can they not be merciful? They are not the servant of actually shaitan, they are not ibadur shaitan, that who actually just actually wants to aggravate situation. He said, my servants are wa ibadur rahman. Who are they? Wa iza khatabahumul jahilun. When ignorant people who don't know what they are doing, who are just delving into dunya and this little bit of nitty gritty of dunya and this world, qalu salama, they actually go away with peace. They leave them and themselves in peace, because there is much higher dangers coming in akhirah. But yes, as you have said, Rasulullah ﷺ did go through, and in Fath Makkah, he said, I remember all of the things you did wrong to me, but I say same thing as Yusuf ﷺ said to his brother, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Today there is no no revenge for you, no such actually a vengeance will come from you, because you will release. And sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it benefits as well that if someone behaves evil with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, idfa billati hi ahsan. You ignore them and do goodness, rather goodness to them in there. Idfa billati He ahsan فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. This can reduce animosity as well, when you return evil and badness with goodness as well. But this is really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا. This is something which cannot be done by everyone. It is people who have a very high level sabr, and ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, and a great dignity, a person who have dignity, who have a big view of things, they can do only this. And about the waswas of shaitan, then Allah says, إِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That you seek refuge in the comfort of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when shaitan is encouraging you to do bad and to do more bad, because that's never going to benefit you. جزاكم الله خيرا. استغفر الله استغفر الله.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا الله يا رحمن.
We talk about this hasad.
Yeah.
How do you control it?
Hasad is
from the beginning.
Because yes.
If all of your life you had a bad habit, and then suddenly you jump into this pool of nur, where you have all this emotional baggage with you, how do you start to control the internal state? You stopped all your bad habits, X, Y, Z, I've done this, I've done that, I'm praying now, I'm doing this. Now how do you start to control on the internal state? What's the first stage?
About the hasad, you are saying?
But yeah, the heart, yeah, how do you start to control the heart, the bad? How do you concentrate on that sunnah?
Right, okay.
What's the first stage?
Okay. The matter is that the Sharia has made us it easier for us that how to, meaning, for example, hasad. Let me give you an example, because you mentioned hasad. Hasad means jealousy. What it means is, in other words, you want, this brother has a good car, I don't want him to have it, I want myself to have it. And because I don't have it, then I have a feeling in the heart that actually encourages me to harm this person. Hasad. Hasad, one, there are two type of solutions for these things. One is the theoretical solution for these things, and one is practical thing you have to do. Theoretical and practical. So for example, theoretical is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a bank account, for example, for everyone. For example, he has announced, I'm going to give this person 1 million, this will have 2 million, he will have 3 million, 4 million. This is the وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْدَهُنَا بَعْدٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who destined things for you and everyone. One person will never get the share of the other person. Even it is so much so, it's a grain of wheat, or it is one small, you may say, piece of fruit, of a grape. If Allah has portioned it for you, never the other person can. I'm not saying about big things like women, wife, car, other things. They are big things. But even smallest thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has portioned for you, never any other person can get, nor other people can get actually, yours nor you can get. So you have your own bank account, you have own treasure. Once theoretically you know this, I can steal from the bank here in the street, no one steals from the bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rizq which he has actually distributed, no one can get here. Any risk. Risk does not only mean money, risk can mean honor, risk can mean other things as well. So, matter. So, theoretical solution for is to you to understand, I have a bank account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has signed me, this brother, for example, this my servant is going to get few million, this million, for example, money, he is going to marry two people, these women are his destiny, etc., etc. So me being jealous with someone, I think, is not going to reduce or his, or actually give me anything more. I give you an example, for example. Shaitan had a jealousy with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Allah had destined for Adam alayhi salam prophethood. For Shaitan, prophethood was not destined, but he could become a big wali. And he was a friend of Allah at one time when he used to live in Jannah. But the destiny of prophethood was for Adam alayhi salam. And he became jealous that I want that prophethood, and Adam alayhi salam I don't want him to have. So what happened? He is still living on the earth and trying so much, he never could get that prophethood. But what he has done is rather harmed himself. He even lost what he could have, like friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So once you understand theoretically is this part that hasad, for example, that my portion, my bank account is separate account, Allah is the giver and He is not going to give me the other or the other no matter how much I try. So it's best I try to attain, and if it is a haram way, then actually this is. The other thing is practical solution. Practical solution is like, for example, still you have feelings, negative feelings in the heart of the people. The Mashayikh has said, you pray for that person. Oh Allah, give him more blessings. Give him more things, actually. Whatever it is his destiny. And give me more as well. So similarly, once you have hatred, you don't like a person, you can't stand him. One is to the theoretical solution that bogd and hatred is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, this is for nafs, I'm going to clear that. And outwardly, to get rid of the feelings, do opposite what the nafs says, send some gifts to that person, invite him for food, for example. These then actually theoretical and practical solution gradually is going to reduce those negative feelings. Why? Because in the first place, why those negative feelings came in you was because of the behavior of that person with you. He's done something to you, because of what he done, these feelings have come in you. Now, once you do things, then gradually, inshallah. And the second answer to that is, we are only responsible of not hating people intentionally. If without me wanting unintentional thoughts, bad feeling come towards people, you are not sinful. Because Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith of Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَجَاغَزَ عَنْ عُمَّتِي. Allah has forgiven my ummah from waswas, from bad thoughts, unless they practice them or speak about them or practice them. In another hadith, Rasulullah said, my ummah has been forgiven from three things. One, they do with forgetfulness. You've eaten whilst you were fasting, you've done something out of forgetfulness, you're forgiven. Secondly, if you have done something unintentional, accidentally, like you are going along the path, you see something you shouldn't, for example, see a bad scene, a pornographic image or a woman, and you unintentional, your glances go here and there, you are not sinful for that. And thirdly, Rasulullah ﷺ said, the person of my ummah, if he is forced upon doing something, he is forgiven as well. As in the Quran it says, Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. So much so that if someone puts a pistol on your head and say, prostrate in front of this idol, or say there are two gods, but your heart is satisfied that Allah is one, but just to save your life, you say to Allah, has actually forgiven the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I forgive that person. If you say steadfast and you come kill, you are martyr, you have a higher level. So these are the three things, inshallah. Yes, brother.
How can you protect yourself from these sort of things, like people, you know, hating you or conspiracy, you know, trying to hurt you?
You cannot really stop other people here. You can stop yourself hating others. You have control over your heart.
You have hasad.
Like for example, I say shaitan. Shaitan always have a hasad with human being. You can never stop shaitan hating you, or shaitan having jealousy towards you. You can actually, yes, protection can come. You cannot stop him hating. You cannot stop people hating you, or not liking you, or they. You cannot stop people being jealous about you. But yes, you can protect, like you said yourself, by Rasulullah ﷺ. For example, he said, if you read this dua in the morning until evening, you will be protected from shaitan, from other things. For example, he said, if you read this dua, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shayun fil ardi wa la fis samai wa samil, three times. One another dua, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ala nafsi wa dini, Bismillah ala kulli shayin atani rabbi, Bismillah khair al-asma, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi da, Bismillah iftatahtu wa ala Allahi tawakkaltu, Allahu Akbar. Meaning many, many duas Rasulullah mentioned, Azkar al-Sabah, wal masa. If you read in the morning, you get protection until the evening. If you read in the evening, have you not read Suratul Falak? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Wa min sharri hasidin iza hasad. Protection from hasad there. You are not saying, you can't stop other people being jealous, but you can say, wa min sharri, from the evil of the jealouser when he practices jealousy. Wa min sharri hasidin iza hasad. So these are some of the verses of Quran and some of the dua of a hadith which is known as Azkarul Muhammadiyah, Azkar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, morning and evening, selected from which we have a booklet as well. If you want, you can have that, and inshallah you are actually protected. Like in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever abstained from four sins, four major sins, like shedding blood, unlawful wealth, unlawful haram wealth, shedding blood, and zina, and there's another one, magic, probably, or another one. Rasulullah says, if a person avoids these and he recites Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Imam Behki said this 100 times, 50 years of his minor sins are forgiven. 50 years of his sagair, his minor sins are forgiven, provided he. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran as well, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu nukaffir ankum min sayyatikum. If you avoid the kabair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will expiate, I will cancel your sagira sins, because there is system in Islam in place which automatically deletes, which automatically cancels and forgives your saghira sins. Automatic system there is placed. For example, you will say, which is the system? System is, when you came today from home to the mosque, with every step, one saghira sin is forgiven from you. When you did wudu and came into the mosque, you wash your hands, the hands, sins of the hands are forgiven. Saghira. When you wash the eyes and face, sins of the eyes, sins of the tongue, sins of the thing. And once you then, when you were standing in the prayer, it was like in autumn season, like in the season when the leaves are yellow and you move them slowly, even so many leaves actually fall down. So once you are standing in the prayers, that's how sins actually, they actually fall away from you. So getting into Jannah is not very, very hard, and it's not very, very easy. It's a moderate effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a choice. Now you avoid the kabair and do the fara'is, and inshallah you have a good hope. You have a good chance actually of forgiveness. Okay then, Jazakumullah Hasan al Jaza. If there's anything else you want to ask, you can also see me privately. But alhamdulillah, pray for me. We are all in need. I think I am more sinful. I am more in need. You think as well. Human beings are in this state. As Rasulullah said, Kullu Bani Adam. That all of the children of Adam, they do wrong things, they do mistakes. And the best of them, khair, are actually khairul khatta'in, the one who actually repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us astaghfar, the power of tawbah, and alhamdulillah, we stand good chance winning from shaitan and actually entering the pleasure of Allah and dying with iman. جزاكم الله خيرا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. يا مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم أكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالحلم وزيننا بالعلم. اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك وعلى تلاوة كتابك وعلى ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة ونعوذ بك من سوء الخاتمة. وامتنا على الإيمان والسنة واحشرنا مع الصالحين وادخلنا جنة بغير حساب بفضلك وبكرمك وبرحمتك وبجودك يا أرحم الراحمين. واغفر لنا وارحمنا ولوالدينا ولمشائخنا ولمعلمينا ولأزواجنا ولذرياتنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم والأموات من الجنة والناس. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين. جزاكم الله فور لسنينج. ما شاء الله. آمين. آمين. أستغفر الله من أبينا. السلام عليكم.